Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is considering changes to the state's livestock siting rules. The rules set standards for things like where manure storage can go on a farm and how odor is managed. Many farmers are worried about the proposed changes, saying they'd hurt the industry, which is already feeling squeezed by low commodity prices and a trade war with China. John Holyvoat is Director of Government Affairs at the Dairy Business Association. He joins us now in the studio. John, thanks a lot for being with us today.
And thank you for having me.
We'll talk about what the current siting rules are and how they work.
Well, the rule was in, I suppose the statute was enacted in 2004, and the rules were written over a period of time and finally finalized in 2006. They provide us with a uniform way of regulating the siting of livestock operations, at least above a certain size, throughout the entire state. Local units of government are allowed to opt in to do this, but if they decide not to opt in, that means they really cannot regulate the siting of livestock facilities. So it's either participate in this program and use the rules developed by DATCAP or choose not to regulate those operations of that size.
So don't require a permit, or if you do, you use these rules, you can establish your own separate set of rules.
Unless you follow a procedure already established by the statute and the rules that allows for special circumstances where maybe some sort of local concern would give rise to a need for additional regulations.
Now, talk about what would change under these proposed rules.
Well, lots of different things would change, including some things that we as an organization find positive. There's some streamlining of the process, some things to make it work a little better for local governments and for the farmers to make sure everyone understands the process better and it functions better both on the front end where people are getting permitted as well on the compliance side after someone's been permitted. There are also significant changes to the way that we deal with odor management. Right now we have an odor scoring system that allows farmers to complete a worksheet to show what they're doing to mitigate odor and how far away they are from their nearest impacted neighbors. And if they're able to get a passing score on that sheet through the efforts that they're implementing on their farm, then they're allowed to construct their expansion that they planned. That is being done away with under the proposal, at least, and would be replaced by pretty drastically increased setbacks meant to deal with odor, with the ability also for farmers to then buy back part of their setback through a more limited set of odor mitigation strategies.
And it seems like another change, if I have this right, these change standards would allow local governments to go beyond that state rules, right? They would be able to impose maybe more stringent standards.
They'll still be pretty restricted in what they can do. The underlying framework for them to impose a stricter standard would be difficult. They always have the option to actually go the opposite direction too and actually do something that's sort of a half measure. They might say, yeah, we're going to implement livestock siting, but we're not going to go and use these setbacks. We're going to do something slightly less than. That's an option. But going more than is actually would still be limited.
Talking to John Holyvoat, Director of Government Affairs of the Dairy Business Association, about possible changes in state rules when it comes to the siting of either new livestock farms or expanding existing ones. So I think a lay person who's not in the industry, John, might be listening and thinking, okay, so what's the problem? Why is this of concern to your group and some other agriculture and processing groups around the state?
Yeah, it's a dense and complicated issue, and I don't pretend to say that it's not. I think a lot of people have testified at hearings across the state. There were 12 held by the department, and I would say that a lot of those folks that testified probably don't fully understand the rule themselves, and that's no fault of their own. Our main concerns surround two different issues. One, the setbacks that are replacing the odor scoring system, they're a huge increase from what we currently have. So
the setbacks is how far a manure
storage, or in some cases livestock siting,
livestock housing, or from the neighbors
would have to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, right now underneath the odor scoring, it's from your nearest impacted neighbor. This would shift to all based upon property lines and road or public right-of-ways, which can make a huge difference because maybe before you backed up to another farmer's field, and there that wasn't a concern because there was no house there or no people there to smell. So that is a big shift. And again, the numbers for the setback are quite large. In Wisconsin, we have a history of a lot of rural settlement. A lot of people live in the country who don't farm in the country. They just happen to live. Maybe they bought an acre off of a 40-acre plot, and they built a home there. That's great, and we're glad to have those people as our neighbors. But at the same time, that complicates things if we're going to go for radically increased setbacks based upon property line. It's going to make it difficult for some people to ever meet those standards. And one of our concerns is maybe we haven't properly tested those new setbacks to find out who would be impacted, how would people who have already been permitted fare under the new system, and are we expecting and asking too much of our farmers?
Now, supporters of the change say, hold on, these only kick in for a new facility or if an existing one wants to expand their operation, so that already permitted livestock operation wouldn't see a change. Is that right?
That is true. But you only have to grow by 20% to trigger falling underneath the new rules or having to seek a new permit. I was in private practice before I worked for Dairy Business Association. I liked it when my law firm grew 20%. It was my effort to try and see that to happen. Many farmers are in no different position. Business owners of all kinds would like to see or have the option of growing. Maybe you're going to have a new generation come home from maybe UW and join the farm. And you'd think you'd have to grow because of that. So there's lots of instances where that kind of growth would happen. So while that's true, it also we shouldn't just be cavalier about it because that's the case. There's a lot of instances where people are going to want to grow.
How big an impact do you see this potentially having on dairy farmers in the state if the changes went through as currently written, which seems kind of unlikely, but if they stayed as written, what would the impact be?
I think it would have a chilling effect on people who wanted to expand in the state and certainly on people who wanted to move and invest in the state. And those are two big, totally different issues, and people feel very differently about those, and I recognize that. Some people are fine with their a farm that's been down the road for 50 years growing, they might feel very differently about a new farm locating. But we try to stay competitive when it comes to our neighboring states. And the reality is many of our other states in the Midwest are actively courting our farmers and our dairy processors because they've seen the success that we have with our industry here. So it's not unusual to see whole delegations of people from South Dakota, for example, at Rural Dairy Expo that's coming up in October. And they'll be there trying to court people and bring them to South Dakota. So we have to be cognizant about, you know, where our position is in the industry overall right now and whether or not we want to maintain that. We generate a lot of money for the state. We keep rural communities vibrant. And, you know, we're on the license plate, right? We're part of our heritage and part of our identity as Wisconsinites.
What is the process now? This is, as you said, we've been through hearings now. Who is ultimately the decider on these changes?
Well, the ultimate decider probably is the legislature. But there's multiple steps involved to get us to that point. Actually, tomorrow morning, the Department of Ag is going to have their board meeting. They're going to have an update at least on the scope of the testimony that was received, the written comments that were received. And then they're going to come back in November and vote on whether to move the rules forward or not. Well, as you mentioned earlier, I anticipate probably a modified version of the draft that we saw already. They either will say move that ahead or move it or not. It'll then go to the governor. He'll have the chance to approve it or not. And from there, if he approves it, it'll go on to the legislature where they can do a whole host of things. They could reject it outright. They could send it back for modifications on certain areas of concern, or they could accept it through passive review or through active review.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's John Holivoat, Director of Government Affairs at the Dairy Business Association, with us today to talk about changes being proposed to the state's livestock siting rules that some farmers say could put some of them out of business or at least hurt their industry. We're also working on bringing you another perspective from one of the environmental groups that supports the rule changes. Listen for more on that later this week.